Monster dick. Wieners. You're welcome.
That's a brilliant
opening. You're welcome.
We are your hostesses, EJ, Stacy, and Amy. We're still going to, we're still on our bookish discussion. What's the word I'm looking for? Trend, wave, track. I mean, we're on a bookish discussion path. We do have specific book discussions like in queue, but this ain't it. Instead, this is us talking about all for all the newbie monster fuckers out there, all of our baby monster fuckers. How does one even get into the monster romance genre? So today we're going to be talking about some reviewers, influencers who have explored this. I kind of talk about some of our favorite ones, or really I'm just going to be sitting down and listening to a lot of Amy talk about some of her most entertaining observations, and then we'll also talk about some recommendations that we would have for those who are kind of interested in this, you know, frankly outrageous and weird genre. And we know it's it can be outrageous, and we know it can be weird. That's why we like it, and we want you to enjoy yourself too. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah.
So Amy, as monster romance gets more popular and more visible, we're starting to see more bloggers of different kinds, influencers, reviewers, what have you. They're reading it and they're talking about it. And I kind of want to know, what are some of the most entertaining reactions that you have encountered so far?
Okay, well, first and foremost, when it comes to monster romance, we all know that there's a spectrum. And the funny thing is that when some of these readers choose to go, they choose to go wide. It's like some of them are like, oh, we're going to dip our toes. We're going to read a little vampire romance, maybe read a little shifter romance. You know, that's monster romance light, something to that extent. And then there are those that are reading, say, what is Opal Rain's first book, A Soul to Take, or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Opal Rain's, like, what's her Dustwalker series?
Yes, the Dustwalker series, yes. Yeah. And basically where there's tentacles involved with the teens.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
And there's skulls.
or there could possibly be some borderline vore going on.
Yes.
Oh, we know what vore is?
Yes.
Let's give a definition for our listeners.
Okay. Vore is basically the idea of experiencing sexual euphoria in the act of typically being eaten. And we're talking not eating out. We are talking about
actually consumed.
Yes. Or just perhaps just, you know, nommed on a bit in a giant mouth or something like that. Which actually, one of the reviewers, she experienced that with, was it a Cleo Evans book or something like that? I don't know. It involved dragons, and they were dragon shifters technically. And she basically kind of was like, I didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, honey, you've obviously never experienced boar or heard of it.
I'm not going to lie. Boar makes me uncomfortable.
That is understandable. Boar is a very, very specific sub-niche of interest. Yeah.
I think Vore, to me, because it's the same thing that I have where, like, there's a, you know, like a popular genre in horror movies is cannibalism, and I get the same squick from cannibalism movies that I get from Vore.
Fair. That is totally, totally fair.
Which, again, I'm not yucking anybody's yum. I'm just saying it's not for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, fair enough.
And then you have those that go completely off the deep end. And I have to wonder if it's mostly because of their patrons or their followers that are encouraging, coaxing, urging them to read said books, such as Vera Valentine's erotic door novella.
Vera Valentine, you're fucking awesome. Bless you. Your niche rocks.
It's
I also, at the same time, do not understand people who are like, this is outrageous. I'm like, well, it's it's a balloon animal that's fucking you.
Oh yeah, squeak. Yeah,
squeak.
What if that hadn't been a multi-partner one, I totally would have read that.
But so. Often, I will say, oftentimes these influencers slash booktubers or whomever, they will of course be upfront about this and say, "My patrons made me read this, or I read this, so you don't have to." It's
fair like, enough. It's, fair or, enough.
Or something like that, and it's funny, especially when they choose to do a reading vlog where they're they're recording as they're reading the book, and they're like, they just kind of stop and they're like, okay, so blah 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 blah, and I'm just like, I don't know how this is going on or what's going on, and you just watch their eyes just kind of like, or just kind of like. Or their mouths are gaping over like, huh? What?
No, man, that's the thing is with things like that is like you gotta lean in. Mm-hmm. So you gotta double down.
I get that. But I also appreciate some of the reviewers that really take it, they take it very, not very seriously, but professionally, because this is their kind of their job. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones, she actually rated them on several different scales. Basically on story, on monster spectrum, like she classified vampires and werewolves as being a one, whereas
in terms of like strangeness, basically.
Yes, correct.
Like their relatability to
their
to
monstrousness
humans.
Was like that. And like Cthulhu would be five. And that was what she stuck with, was like 1 to 5. And like a 3 was where she put some of them, like she had read The Dragon's Bride by Katie Roberts, which she actually admitted that it was actually the best of Katie Roberts that she had read, because she's had a hard time getting into Katie Roberts stuff. But for the dragon, I forget what his name is, but she put him at a 3 because he is humanoid. There is some human in him, because that's what they mate with humans too. So there's obviously some sort of human in him as well, but he does have 2 peens, 2 lovely eggplants.
He does.
And then she also rates them as, love him or list him, I guess, as in
like sell it.
I don't know what
like
listing is.
Don't want to keep
get,
it.
I guess that. And then also like personal preference or whatnot. And she would, give her rating for like, oh, it's like, I really loved him, but, or I'm like, it's like their dynamic wasn't really my thing, so it'd be a pass or smash or pass. There we go. Smash or pass.
Oh, smash or pass. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So, and she pretty, it's funny, Stacey, because she also classified, and she's like, she was thinking, oh, I really should classify alien romance in it, because she is a Ruby Dixon fan. She loves her Ice Planet romance. And favorite one was Floor's something or other.
Floor's Fiasco. Oh,
that's it. Yes. And that was the one where she really, that was her overall monster. That was her dream.
Nice. Very nice.
Nice.
But she had read The Dragon's Bride, Deceived by the Gargoyles, which also wasn't her thing, because the one she really liked was Broderick. And of course, Broderick's awesome. But when it comes to reverse harem and polyamory, it's like she ends up wanting to focus on just one pairing rather than all of it. So that's why she's like, it's really a pass for you, because I don't really do the multi-lovers.
Right. Thing. Yes. Yeah. Same thing for me. So yeah.
I think you'd appreciate that about her stuff. What else did she read? She read the first of the Duskwalker books too, because Orpheus had his whatever, but the issue she had with that couple was the likability of the main characters. She had a hard time liking them, which is why she's like, he'd be a pass, not a smash. And
like the likability of male and female characters, or
yes,
just male characters, or just
female?
No, okay.
Both of them.
Gotcha.
Main male character. And yeah, but just, she's very thorough in her process, because she loves statistics. Honestly, EJ, I think you might enjoy following her as a booktuber, because she goes into her stats. And she is a big romance reader. I actually love watching her, because she's always like, oh, hello. It's just it's really nice. And then
sounds like she's very, it's like her information is approachable is what it sounds like.
yeah.
It really is. It really is. And she's very honest in her reviews, and she tries to find the positive in all of what she reads, even if her ratings may not be the highest. I think out of all the monster romance books she read, the lowest rating she gave was like 3 stars, which is
Okay,
great.
so that's not bad.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
exactly.
average, so.
Yeah, she enjoyed pretty much all of them. And then there was another reviewer who I actually had watched her reading vlog of when she read 3 particular monster romances, and one of the it, she read I Married a Lizard Man by Regine Abel,
That's a good one.
Classic.
The Dragon's
I need
Bride
to reread
by
that
Katie
one.
Roberts.
Also
And
nice.
the third one, what was the third one she read? Was it Morning Glory Milking Farm? I think that's what it was. Yes, it must have been. Anyways, this
Sounds good.
one, she actually had a list of recommendations for Monster Romance. So I'm just like, yep, I am totally on board with what you're recommending because I've read quite a few of these and I like what you're saying about them. At least the ones that I had read. There was like one in there, a Harley LaRue one,
I've heard
sold.
of Harley LaRue, but yes, that's a really good book.
Yeah. She
If that's the one I'm
recommended that one.
thinking
I'm like, I
of.
haven't read it, so I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it's not.
If it's the one I'm
But
thinking of, it's excellent. Where he's like
she.
her, he's like a demon who
Yes.
sort of eats her pain from her like childhood religious trauma. Yes, that's an excellent, excellent book.
Yeah. But like the previous one who did all the stats, she enjoyed The Dragon's Bride a lot. She enjoyed Morning Glory Milking Farm hell of a lot more than she was
Hell yeah.
expecting. And
Hell
that was
yeah.
actually one that I'm wanting to see if she's read a Blue Ribbon Romance, because it's like you're gonna get the same story, but you're gonna get Rourke's point of view, which of course is nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you don't always get the male point of view.
Right, for sure. And if you love a story, it's always awesome when you can find a new source of where you can glean information.
She also read the first of the Kraken books, which it took her a bit of
The
time to get it.
Tiffany Roberts
Yes.
Krakens.
Yes, exactly. Sorry. I should have clarified. Yes, the first of the Tiffany Roberts Kraken books. And she said it took her a bit of time to get past the monstrousness. I'm like, that's the beauty of that stuff.
Yeah, but if you're new though, like,
True.
because I can remember when I started reading sci-fi romance, it was like, okay, well, I can handle Ice Planet Barbarians, but I they're fine because they're just like, they're basically humans with extra implements and but they're blue, but they're human, and now it's just like it's a sentient blob who fucks her. Great, sign me up, I'll read it.
I totally get it, Stacey. But yes, and they all of them have admitted, well, with the exception of the first one I mentioned, it's like they're new to monster romance. And I mean, I get it. When
Yeah.
you're new, you kind of want to, sort of slowly make your way in or something. Some people are like that. Others are like, let's just dive right into the cannonball area.
The brave, foolish
Right.
souls. Even I like started with just Ruby Dixon. Like I was super chill, or because yeah, they're very human-like, but it was fun because they essentially have rabbit vibrator style dildos for penises, and I was like, I see possibility here. And it kind of just it went from there.
Yes. So we had some. I'm going from the really big, heavy stats person to the one who really enjoyed a lot of what she did read. And she does kind of want to get more into monster romance, but just, kind of feel her way through some of the series that she had already read books from. And then we have the one who cannonballed into some areas. And I'm just like, sweetie, why did you do that? And this one actually had read, this is the one who had read the first of the, well, not first, I think it was book two of Cleo Evans' Monster Cafe, Cryptid Cafe. Cryptid Cafe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like an ongoing series.
Yes, it is. And she was just kind of thrown off by the voorishness that going on with the dragons. And then she read Deceived by the Gargoyles, and she's like, I didn't really like that as much because there was a lot of the use of the word seed and da da da, da and other stuff. And just she kind of went into it. And then that's when she also got into The Maid and the Orcs. And I'm just like, sweetie, you didn't like seed that much in there. I'm sure it was mentioned quite a bit in Maid.
Yes.
The weird thing is that in her review, she's like, unironically, I really liked this, but it's probably a bad book. And I'm like, what do you mean by unironically?
I don't feel the need to unpack her statement there. I feel the need for her to feel the need to unpack that statement.
Yeah.
Like, do she's it for like, yourself.
She liked it, but she was like, it was a bad book. I'm like, what do you mean? I don't know if she feels guilty about liking it. She's like, she enjoyed it, but she's also admitted that she couldn't recommend it. And I'm like,
I mean, if for someone who's new to Orcsworn, I would not recommend, I would very unlikely recommend The Maid and the Orcs for a newbie. I would probably be more like, start with number one, The Lady and the Orc, and, yes, you know, go from there.
But the funny thing was is that she just dove right on in into book six, having not read books one through five. And I'm like,
I don't understand. Yeah, like, why would you jump in the fucking middle of it?
I'm just over here, like, you know, Finley Fenn writes like bricks. We could build a goddamn igloo with that woman's books. You know, so like, I'm also thinking you're starting in the middle of a series. You're starting in the middle of a series of a writer who is almost hilariously known for writing very chonky books. So it's a commitment.
She also complained about that. She's like, this was really long. I read it in 2 days, but I don't think the book needed to be this long. And I'm like,
oh, for fuck's sake. That's like that dipshit that when I was looking at the S.J. Sanders series and it was like Pumpkin Spice and Everything Nice or something like that. God. And had a fucking Jack Lantern on the cover. And they give it 2 stars because they don't really like Halloween. And it's but you picked up a book with a fucking Jack Lantern on the cover.
I think something that's very important. I wrote this in my little newsletter blog and I stand by it. The Finley fans' core readers are size queens. And that is in two senses of the word. They like big books and big orc dicks. And they get both. Great.
Yep. So, like, I 100% agree with it. Drown me in words and drown me in words.
On one hand, I groan, but also on the other hand, I'm like, you know what? I really feel like a quick visit to Finley Fenn's Discord would have cleared a lot of stuff up real damn quick. No judgment, but we would have been honest with you.
Yes. And it was hilarious because she's like, this is why she's like saying, I don't know if Monster Romance is for me. I'm like,
that's
honey,
fine.
With as big as a spectrum as Monster Romance is, you can find ones that actually don't involve buckets of cum. Because she mentioned
that. Absolutely. That's not your bag. That's not your bag.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, I get that, but you need to keep digging. Yes, you're going to have to read a few that are maybe, or you don't even have to finish the ones that you start. Remember.
Oh, absolutely. Embrace DNF.
Embrace the DNF. Embrace the
exactly.
DNF. It is okay to stop reading a book.
And one thing that I would like to see people do more is you can look at a book and be like, you know, this just isn't for me. And that doesn't make it a bad book. That just means it's not a good fit for you.
Right. Yes. And it has nothing to do with you as a reader or it as a book. It just means you don't mesh together.
Right.
Whatever.
It just means that they're, you know, your personalities don't mesh. And that's okay because it happens. It's like that dipshit that read the S.J. Sanders book and then gave her 2 stars because she doesn't like Halloween stuff. It's like, that doesn't make it a bad book. That makes you bad at choosing your reading.
This is true. You are not being true to yourself. You are not being true to yourself as a reader.
Yeah, there is. I do kind of like messing around with the idea of reading terrible reviews. like hilariously terrible reviews, like what you described there, Stacey.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Halloween book, and you didn't like it because you don't like Halloween. And yet right. here you are reading a book where the theme is Halloween. It sort of reminds me of like, oh, there are a couple of American late night shows that will have like celebrities read terrible tweets about themselves.
Yes, mean tweets. Yes.
Mean tweets. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would. It is not many authors that I would be like, you want to read aloud some mean reviews about yourself? I mean, we could do that. And then we would laugh. Yes. And we could make them absolutely anonymous. I have no interest in like doxing someone for their terrible book choices.
No, because you just.
What's the point? What is. Exactly. I don't want that internet karma. No.
It's just, it's a funny thing because you have actual readers that enjoy monster romance. And
mm-hmm.
once you find your area that you like in monster romance, you kind of stick with it and you go there, and then maybe you feel out into one area. I mean, there's some books that I'm kind of like, I might want to read this. I don't know if it's right now that I'm ready for it. So I'm going to stick on the Kindle Unlimited TBR.
Right. Well, and again, that's the thing with monster romance is I really feel like you can't, if you're going to read monster romance, read fucking monster romance. Like you can't, I'm trying to think of how to word this. Like it's not, what I'm trying to say makes sense in my head, but I know if I say it out loud, it's going to come across insulting in a way that I don't intend. Basically, if you're going to wander out into weird, you have to expect weird.
I think that is kind of what a lot of the reviewers that I have seen, they accept that. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they will say that it's like this kind of weirdness was not really for me.
Right. And that's totally okay. Like, you know, and that's sometimes legit. Stuff just isn't, you know, like again, I don't say romance or reverse harem is terrible. I just mm-hmm. don't care for it.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Same with
and there's nothing movie. Wrong with reverse harem. There's nothing wrong with people liking reverse harem. It's just not what I'm looking for.
Right. No, absolutely. Like
I know not to recommend reverse harem books to Stacy. She knows not to recommend Omegaverse to me.
Exactly. Or particularly Dark Dubcon.
Yeah.
and the beautiful thing I would say about monster romance is how it keeps on growing. So I think there's even every single year, I swear, there's more avenues for people to enter and explore monster romance. Like,
hell yeah. We had described like the beauty of it.
Yeah. We had touched on this in Amy. I'm going absolutely, going to credit you for this tip because, like, one of my questions is, what tips do you have for the baby monster fuckers out there when they're trying to get into this world?
Right.
And I thought you had some great wisdom on our chat, which was start with a genre that you know you like, and then find monsters in it. And I was like, that is clever.
Yeah.
That is clever as hell.
I would also say another thing, too, is find a monster you think is sexy and look for that.
That's true, too.
You know, like if you're into vampires, find some fucking vampires. If you're into elves, like there's all kinds, like I would consider fae romance to be monster fucking.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and just the variety of what you have out there for fae romance. Yeah. I mean, you can find everything from like shifters to polycules to
changelings.
To Sarah J. Moss, which, you know, not for me, but to each their own.
Right. You know, and it, you know, you got, if your starting point is pretty boy fairies, I am personally inclusive enough of a monster fucker. I'm like, good start.
Sure.
Good start.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I can think of worse ways to start. Should I can give you some recommendations?
Right.
Heck, my first start was vampires and werewolves.
Yeah.
Technically, that was more paranormal romance, but.
They're still monsters.
Right.
Because I've been reading romance novels since the 80s. Like, I started reading way too young. I think I was 10 when I started to read my mother's romance novels.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite books of all time, it's still one of my favorite books, is called Uncertain Magic by Laura Kinsale. And it's not monster fucker, but it's monster fucker adjacent. And it actually deals with Irish fairies and sort of the ramifications of them playing with humans, essentially. And both of the hero and the heroine are both human, but they're both fae touched. And so it's kind of like how it's impacted both of their lives. And and that was kind of the start for me, because that book is so, it was so unusual compared to everything else. Because my mother ended up getting a free copy of it with a Joanna Lindsay book. I think it was Define Out the Heart when it was released. So it was like by Joanna Lindsay's, and you automatically got the Laura Kinsale book, like shrink wrapped to the Laura, to the Joanna Lindsay. And so my mom got that, those books for her birthday from my much older sister. And I was curious about Uncertain Magic because it was just like there was nothing on the cover. It literally just said Uncertain Magic in purple and was like free copy with Joanna Lindsay's Define Out the Heart. And I read it and just fucking fell in love with it. And so like that was kind of like my first exposure to monster fucking. But then like you would occasionally find like the odd like vampire novel if you were lucky. And I was really into vampires as a teenager, so that was fine with me. But true monster fucking, like I can only think of one werewolf story when I was a teenager. And it wasn't even a true werewolf. It was someone, it was a Rebecca Brandewin short story about an Irish chieftain who was under a curse to believe he was a werewolf and he'd wear this wolf skin, basically, when he was in this hallucinatory state, basically. But it was super hot because she was drugged and thought she was being fucked by a wolf, basically. And so, like, 16-year-old me is like, all right, I'm listening. And then in the ending, it was a whole thing. And broke the curse. I didn't think it was a wolf anymore. And I was like, all right. I mean, I guess we have to. It's kind of like the end of Beauty and the Beast, you know? When, oh, all right. I guess that's what he looks like. Well, all right.
Don't worry.
I'm already invested at this point.
That is one thing that I will say. The best retellings of Beauty and the Beast, in my opinion, are those that changed that ending.
Yep. Book, Or Beauty by Robin McKinley. That's an excellent book. But that's young adult. There's no... She doesn't get railed.
Rose Daughter's good.
I need to read Rose Daughter. I haven't read that one yet.
I need to reread
it. I really like Robin McKinley. So when actual monster fucking came around, I had already kind of gotten my toes wet. And for me, like I was reading paranormal romance because I was reading Presley Cole and anything like that I could find. And like Emma Hawley was one who she had really cool, she had kind of her own version of vampirism that was like a mix of vampires and wolves that was really cool. And so it kind of became like you'd find an author that you liked and you'd kind of glom onto one. Because you never knew, like, you know, these authors could be few and far between. Or like, I loved Presley Cole. I read a couple of Gina Showalters and liked them, but I never got into Gina Showalter the same way that I got into Cressley Cole.
Yeah, I think the only Gina book that I have kept was The Nymph King. And
that's a good one.
Oh boy, howdy is it ever.
That is a good one. That was my first experience with like a true himbo. And so I was just like, and I loved Shane.
I actually like the secondary romance.
Which one? The one with the chick who'd been choked? The one with the throat damage?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I liked that one too.
I loved that a lot.
Fuck. I just love that Shay was just like an unrepentant, like, I hate everything. But so it was kind of like now you're kind of spoiled for choice where it's like, okay, well, I didn't care for this, but I can check out this or that. You know, like, say I wanted to read Minotaurs. All right, well, you know, maybe I didn't like this Minotaur story. But I could try S.J. Sanders, or I could try
Naomi Lucas,
C.M. Niskasta, or I could try Naomi Lucas, or I could try, you know, like there's a lot out there to choose from.
Absolutely.
Eva Priest.
And so, what'd you say?
Eva Priest, Evangeline Priest.
And so it's just like kind of a, if you're going to get into monster fucking, like now is the time to do it because you do have all of these great options that weren't available prior to sort of this renaissance of writing that we're going through
absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely. I'm even thinking of like in this current day and age, like let's say you don't have a particular preference on monsters. There's now like such easy avenues of like Are you more of a contemporary romance sort of person?
We've got contemporary romance with monsters.
Right.
We've got historical romance with monsters.
We got historical. We even now have Regency.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Speaking again of our Lord and Savior Nancy Cummings, she actually wrote a Modfell story with time travel in it. Which I thought was super fucking cool. So she basically said it during the, I don't think it was during the Regency, but it might have been. I don't think it was. I think it was more like 1840s, but yeah, man, she totally fell in love with a giant purple guy with horns.
Poor nice. Nancy Cummings. We are over here deifying this woman.
Look, I have my titles. And Nancy Cummings writes Thundercats, which means that she will always get a fuck yeah from me.
There we go. I hope if she listens to this, she is entertained by our silliness.
Especially since I tend to irritate her on Instagram as often as I can.
And of course, you also have the wellspring of science fiction monster romance.
Right.
It's everywhere, depending on what trope you're wanting. Oh my goodness, it's all out there.
Well, and that's kind of the fun thing where you get the overlap between sci-fi and alien, because it's like, you know, maybe you're into fated mates, but you don't want to read about werewolves. Well, I can give you many fated mate alien stories, or vice versa.
Yep. You like snakes? You got now that's all over the place.
Right? You like snakes?
Space,
you like
and on Earth.
Right?
I mean, I personally find tentacles to be a very classic of all the kinks. Like, you can go back.
Yeah, I mean, there's
deep into human.
The Japanese woodcut, the dream of the fisherman's wife, where she's getting eaten
out
by an octopus.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just into the classics if you're into tentacles,
right? Well, and that's the other thing that kind of cracks me up too, because again, it's one of those nothing is new
under the sun,
in heaven and earth. Because humans been trying to fuck monsters since time began.
Indeed.
Oh, definitely. Indeed. Everything comes around again.
Even in stuff that isn't romance, like there's references to monster fucking, like the Xanth series by Piers Anthony, I was very into when I was a teenager. And the way that you've got a centaur was man fuck a horse. That's how all of the human monster hybrids happened. You know, like to end up with a sphinx, I think it was like man fucked a lion. Like it was a human fucked something, and then you got a hybrid.
We are kinky sapiens. Of all the sapiens out there, we are possibly, probably, almost certainly the kinkiest.
Well, and that's one thing that's really funny about our Lord and Savior Nancy Cummings is in her Tall series, so that's her Thundercats. Like in the beginning of her book, she'll put like little references depending on like which book it is. And in Georgia and Talon's book, which is the second book in the series, some of it is letters between the characters. Some of it is snippets from books that only exist in this universe. And my favorite is when Talon and Georgia first start talking. So Talon's the Thundercat, Georgia's the human. And they both talk about being in school and taking, one called it Alien Banging 101, and the other one called it Alien Nookie 101. And there's even a book called So You Want to Mate a Human. That's basically like, humans are sluts and will fuck anything. And also, humans are fertile and will get pregnant. So, or will impregnate. So choose wisely. And I just thought that was fucking hilarious.
Well, I want to kind of get to one of my meatier questions.
All right, let's hear it.
Stacey, for those who are over here like, dang, this still seems like kind of a lot for monster romance. Just give me some recommendations, please. What would you recommend to the baby monster fuckers out there to explore?
Well, so depending on, I mean, the problem with that is that monster fucking is such a wide net to cast.
Right.
Yep.
I need to ask like follow-up questions. Like, are you looking for something intense? Are you looking for something fluffy? Mm-hmm. Do you want something short? Do you want something long? Are aliens okay? Do you only want monsters? Do you not want monsters? You only want aliens?
Right. Well, like, I think we're definitely going to have to accept that anything that we offer is going to be highly incomplete. Hence the previous tips of like, you know, find monsters that you either feel attracted to for whatever reason, and just go with it. Accept, embrace, go with it. You are kinky just like the rest of your species, and it's great.
Yep.
So that's one
you
way.
You too are a pervert, friend.
Yes.
And if you're not feeling that book, try another one. You don't have that you're currently reading.
Yeah. You know,
exactly.
Utilize the hell out of your KU membership.
Indeed.
And I would say too, like, you see if monster romance has entered your subgenre. If not, give it a couple of months. Yeah. Seriously, it keeps on expanding. This is a pretty good time, I feel like, to be a monster romance author. There's so many.
One thing I would say too is like, okay, so say you're coming over from, you know, like say you like motorcycle romances, right?
So find an author you like. Lark Green, right off the bat. Lark Green has a good mobster one.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. But same thing. Mobster, motorcycle, you know, like whatever it is that you're into. And then just explore their back catalog. Because like Kate C. Wells she's become one of my auto buys because she does gangster. She does motorcycle club, but she also does, she has like a little wolf shifter series. You know what I mean? Like she did the Alpha Tyrants Rejected Mate and that whole, and let me tell you, man, if you like your grovel porn, oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. So much grovel. Like, yes. Yes.
If you like some of the more darker romance stuff, I do think it's worth mentioning Orc Sworn and starting off.
Yeah,
with Lady.
Absolutely.
I think
you start with The Lady and the Orc. Do not start off with the most recently released one.
Don't start with Maid like a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, please don't do that to yourself. And I think it's
we love Maid, by the way. Right. It's like that's nothing on Maid.
No.
Not on Maid.
Yeah.
I don't like thruples, and I like all of Finley Fenn's thruples.
Right. And I think with Lady, it's a good litmus test for oneself of like, do I like it this dark? And, you know, if you can handle Lady, you can handle any of the others. Easy peasy.
Definitely. Right. And the thing to remember, too, that when we're saying dark, we're not just talking about like non-con, deb-con. We're talking about, do you want to cry?
Right.
Because I cry.
Do you want to cry? Do you want to explore the vulnerable, broken parts of your childhood trauma?
Right.
Do you want to be on an emotional roller coaster where you ride the highs and you go down to the depths of despair?
Absolutely.
Pretty much. You ask yourself, how is it possible to cry from one eye into the other? Well, lay on your side while you're reading, and that's how.
Yes. But the nice thing is, I do find Orcs Worn to be cathartic in those areas.
Yes, huge. So yes. And the endings are satisfying. Same thing with the Mage series, which is also by Finley.
Yeah.
If you're not satisfied by the end, it's not a series for you.
Yeah. No, exactly. I would say move on. Do something maybe a little bit cuter. Like, I honestly think if you like to binge Hallmark movies, like during Christmas time, I actually think Ashley Bennett's a good one for you. Leviathan Fitness, like that's a really nice series because it's got real Hallmarky vibes, and I mean that in the best way.
Yes,
right.
And it's set in a contemporary universe. You got a lot of cute small towny vibes there, and also her marketing and branding is just cute as fuck.
And Conky does all the covers and stuff. Or Conky does all the covers, so...
Right. She's got an amazing artist on her side. Like, dear Lord.
Does a lot of Ice Planet Barbarian stuff.
Right, right. And actually, for that matter, like, you know, everyone's like, you should read Ruby Dixon. And, yeah,
you should read Ruby Dixon.
She's a damn good story crafter. She is in the sci-fi world under that pen name. And she does explore some darker parts. Her universe does have like human slavery. So
she doesn't
don't right. do
it's
it.
She's not looking to rub your face in it, but she's also not
Right.
shying away from it either.
Right, right.
There's it's unlikely to be on page like violence, like sexual violence against the main characters, but a lot of her main characters have had sexual violence perpetuated upon them in their backstory.
Right. It is important to the context of the story.
But the other thing too that's great about Ruby is, okay, so say maybe you're intimidated by Ice Planet Barbarians. Okay, so read her Anchor and Aspect series.
Absolutely.
And that's like, that's high fantasy and it's amazing fucking world building.
It
you
is
know what I mean?
High
Or
fantasy.
Hey, you know what? Maybe you've always had a thing for bear shifters. Well, guess what? Ruby wrote a bear shifter series too, and it's adorable.
Well, say you're not wanting to go into a very long series and you're not ready for a really lengthy book.
Yeah.
I have a series for you. The Trollkin Lover series by Lyon Riley. Forgive me, Lyon. I don't know how to pronounce your first name, but
my guess would be it's Leon or Leonie would be my guess.
She's also one that's recently come onto the scene last year. She,
yeah, she
really
kind of came out of nowhere,
out
didn't she?
So many novellas. You have Stealing the Troll's Heart, Healing the Orc's Heart, Capturing the Orc's Heart. What's the fourth one, EJ?
Oh gosh, Keeping the Human's Heart, I want to say.
No, that's the
no,
fifth
no, no.
one. That's the fifth
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh gosh,
it's
there are
another
many.
kind. Is
It's
it
another
ogre or
troll.
something?
It's another troll.
But yeah,
It's
choose any of
Lozar's.
them.
It's Lozar's book. But anyways, the Trollkin Lovers series, they are nice novellas. She writes short. I love that about her.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, Amy. She has a really solid story crafter, and like she can deliver a whole story in a short amount of pages, and it doesn't even feel like, to me anyway as a reader, like, wow, she really had to cut some stuff there. Like, no, she fits it in, which to me speaks a shit ton about her as a writer from a skills, from like a technical standpoint.
Well, right, yeah, it's harder to say less than it is to say more and still get your point across.
Absolutely. Right now she's kind of like, I kind of appreciate, the only reason she hasn't come out of nowhere to me is because Amy pointed her out to me on Tumblr, and she was quite proficient on Tumblr for the longest time before she started like publishing. And so, but like now she's published and it does seem like, boom, she's hit the scene, ground running, and she's like just churning them out and getting these fucking awesome ratings, including from me, and she deserves it.
Well, that's kind of like what happened with CM Niskasta too. Like she was kind of quietly behind the scenes on Tumblr and then on Patreon, and then she published Girls Weekend. Which I'm not gonna lie, I didn't like Girls Weekend particularly.
It's not Lurreal her more popular stuff. Yeah,
I liked Lurreal and Cash, but you hardly got to know. Oh fuck, her name just blinked out of my head.
Riz,
the one who's with the punk.
Riz,
yeah, Riz.
Riz, yeah, you hardly got to know Riz, and I thought in the first book anyway, I thought Silva was a bitch.
Yeah,
and then it's been in subsequent stories that you kind of come to realize, like you kind of gain affection for these characters over time and exposure. Because like in Morning Glory Milking Farm, well, more in Blue Ribbon Romance, you find out Rourke is Luriel's neighbor. And Cash irritates the shit out of him, which is hilarious because he and Cash are basically the same person.
And
totally
a phenomenon. Even CM Niskasta has come out and said this. They're the same person.
Yeah, oh no, they say it. Like Luriel says it in the book. Like she at some point, she laughed at Rourke and said it was hilarious that Cash irritated him so much because they were the same person. But again, it was like before Girls Weekend came out, like, I didn't know who the hell she was. And honestly, I was into her because I was looking for orc stuff because I had read Orc Sworn. And then I found like one other decent orc series at that point in time, which is, I believe it's Tara Phillips wrote it. And they're more novellas, but they're really good. Sold to the Orc. Yeah. I think the first one is Sold to the Orc, if I'm remembering right. So I was just like, fuck yeah, it works. And then she had all of the like just sexy as shit illustrations by Illustrian.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
Fuck yes. And so
and she's also working on some in her fantasy world too. But the sad part is that she has taken them down from Tumblr. And I totally get that because obviously it's not the complete story that you're getting there. So it's like, Yeah, I'm taking this down because eventually I'm going to be producing something a bit more substantial.
Right. Something more
Right.
is going to come of it. I just have to take it down for now.
Yeah.
And so it's really fucking, it's that's the really cool thing about this is that, I mean, you get these people who are, it's like they appeared overnight, but it's like they didn't really appear overnight. They've been here quietly working for years. This is the same thing with Ruby Dixon. When I started reading Ruby Dixon, nobody knew who the fuck Ruby Dixon was, other
No.
than perverts like me who were reading Iceland Barbarians. It wasn't until she blew up on Book Talk that all of a sudden everybody was reading Iceland Barbarians, which is great. I'm glad she got the exposure, but she said herself that her just the attention levels people had on her jumped 400% or something like that because she
Skyrocketed.
went viral, you know?
Right.
And but it's just a it's just it's interesting how it's that they came out of nowhere and it's like, no, they really didn't. They're
No.
only just now gaining widespread
Attention.
attention,
I
basically. And
know.
I'm not, that's not a criticism. I'm just pointing out that a lot of the people that people say, oh, they came out of nowhere. And that and I'm not talking about you.
Well, I found it funny because a lot of the reviewers that I have watched and whatnot, in the time that I had seen their videos, they were basically not targeting, but they were focusing a lot on those monster romance books that had reached book talk
Right. Well,
status to
yeah, because
them.
they join the trend of, oh, everybody's talking about this. I want to get some of that attention.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's part of their whole job as content creators. So I get it.
It's the, you know, it's the whole thing with, you know, and then Tiffany Roberts blew up on Book Talk because of the Rick series.
Yep, Spider's Mate was
So,
amazing.
yeah, I
yeah, the
think for
Spider's Mate
Sam
trilogy.
Nascasta, her real viral moment was Morning Glory Milking Farm. And honestly, like
Yes, I agree.
it's
Yes.
a good it is a good beginner book, I have to
It
say,
is.
especially because I think what's fun about it is the premise is very porny, and it is frankly
Yes.
very porny, but it's more than just porny. It's actually very sweet. Nascasta's
Respect.
really good at that. I mean,
She is.
I think, like, I think for those who do need that sweetness, the Cambric Creek stuff, like, you're not going to go wrong. It's all sorts of different kinds of sweet. I can definitely say there are some exceptions, like Run, Run, Rabbit. Like,
Yes, but she
she,
was open at the front that this was a
right.
darker.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, like, she does a lot of her due diligence. Like, you just have to read the synopsis. She
Well, and
will
I think
warn
with
you.
her,
Yeah.
yes, I think with her too, what she's so fucking good at is she understands people like she understands when you ache for something. Whether it's something you can obtain or not. Like one of the things that made the Maven Feast, which is part of the Wheel of the Year series, back with Anne, back with Anzen and Ladybug, like part of what made that so heartrending was that they were both so fucking lonely. And you could tell how lonely they were, but neither of them knew how to fix it because Ladybug is neurodivergent and Anzen, the way his entire species is built is you find your queen and you serve her, and he was never able to find his queen, and then he finds it in Ladybug, you know? And so it's just this beautiful, like, really loving story of lonely people finding each other, even if one of those lonely people happens to be a fucking spider.
I seem to vaguely recall that Sam Nascasta has a marketing background,
She might.
and
I
I
think you're right.
do, and it wouldn't shock me at all if it has helped her
Oh,
in
yeah. I
scientific
don't see how it
journals.
couldn't.
No
Well, like,
doubt.
in her book marketing for sure, but also, like, I don't have a formal book marketing degree. I've only worked for marketers as, like, the smart techie in the room. But I did always find it kind of adorable how, like, a lot of marketers will think about, like, the stories of people and, like, what's motivating them. Like,
Well, yeah, because you can't appeal something to them if you don't know what makes them tick.
right. And so there is a part of me that kind of wonders, like, whenever she's building up characters. Like, this is one of the reasons I would love to like sit down and ask her just some like general crafting questions of like, so do you have like a customer persona or something like that for your characters? Because it would work. It would work. Gosh darn it.
It would absolutely work.
So, but anyway, absolutely. Yeah. So Sam Nescosta, perfect for baby monster fuckers.
And yeah, I think so too, because again, she's really good at taking an unreal situation and making it very real world acceptable.
Absolutely.
Like, there's a story in Blue Ribbon Romance where Rourke is reflecting on he had a feline humanoid neighbor who she wanted to heat because they didn't have heat clinics at that point in time.
Oh, yeah.
And she wanted to heat, and she was just like walking up and down the street naked, like begging somebody to fuck her, and how it was like super embarrassing for her afterwards and stuff like that. And like, that's not something you think about. Like, you think about how hot it would be to be with like, oh, I fucked him through his heat. And it's like, but what happens if you don't have a partner?
Right.
You know, like, or there's, yeah. She has a short story series with I can't remember the girlfriend's name, but she's dating an Oni named Kenta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like that one is really sweet because I think she's technically part shifter, but she's skewed entirely human. She can't shift or anything, and her dad abandoned her and her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she focuses on like she feels like there's a part of her heritage that she can't access.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's again, it's the kind of thing that you don't think about when you think about like sexy werewolves. And don't get me wrong, I like thinking about sexy werewolves. But it would fucking suck if you were in the sexy werewolf community and couldn't become a fucking werewolf.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even though you were a member of the sexy werewolf family, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think that's a big part of her appeal.
I absolutely agree. And by the way, all of these books, of course, as usual, I will make sure that we have a list in our show notes. So anyone who's like freaking out, I want to follow these books. We got you.
Yeah.
We will have
I would also, if you're not sure if you want intense or if you want sweet, I would actually recommend Susan Trombley.
Yeah.
Because she has the bigger Iridian Mate series, which it's intense and dark in some places and deals with some pretty heavy themes. But then she's got the Sweetverse novella spinoffs, and every one of those is so fucking delightful. It is so fucking sweet and cute and hilarious and delightful. And it's in the same universe. It's just, they're just not as long and not as intense as the original trilogy.
Another tip to offer for any baby monster fuckers / monster romance readers, since this is actually becoming a bigger thing now in publishing, mostly indie publishing, look at the content warnings in the books.
Like, yes.
Just look at that and see if anything on there is a red flag for you. Because if it's potentially trouble for you. That book is possibly not for you.
Right. And I will say, however, that I fucking hate this trend that some authors are embracing where they go, for a full list of content warnings, visit my website. That just means I'm not going to read them because I'm not going to go to your fucking website to figure out if your book's going to offend me or not.
Yeah.
If you can't even be asked to mention it on your fucking Amazon page. And I know that part of that is Amazon limiting stuff, but there are other authors who manage to squeeze it in. And if you feel like you can't, then you're just not the author for me.
Yeah.
At least put the main ones in the book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put the main ones that you feel would be, that are mostly encompassed within your book. It's like, especially if it's non-con or dub.
Yes. Anything pertaining to what could be sexual assault or abuse are things that you really need to be conscientious about warning your reader about.
Any form of abuse.
And it's totally cool. Reading content warnings is a form of self-care.
Fuck yes. It's okay to read something and be like, I don't think this is for me, man.
Yep.
Yeah. And just stop reading. Just stop reading and move on to the next book. It's not for me.
Exactly. You just didn't mesh. You ain't got to swipe right on everybody on Tinder. You know what I'm saying?
There's so many books out there.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to read everything that everyone else in the world is reading.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The FOMO is not real. It's only in your head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Embrace JOMO. Which is the joy of missing out.
I, as somebody who lives for canceled plans, I can second this.
In summary, take care of yourself, dear yes. readers.
Mm-hmm. And if it's something that you know you don't like, don't keep trying to read it to make it work.
No.
Right. No.
And like, if you're like, yourself, do not force yourself you know, to finish a book that you are not liking.
Exactly. If
hate
you're
reading, hate reading is far too much energy. You don't need I that mean, negativity in your life.
I'll spite read where I, you know, like, for example, I was going to read it anyway, but the S.J. Sanders Halloween novella, I bought it because fuck that person.
You're going to enjoy it anyway. That's not just spite that reading. Stupid. That's enjoyable.
I know. Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, even if it hadn't been, if it had been like an Amish romance and the cover on the picture or the picture on the cover was an Amish woman looking forlornly into the horizon. And they gave it 2 stars and said, I don't like Amish romances and I don't like horizons. I still would have been like, fuck you, I'm buying the book.
Oh my goodness.
Because you're an idiot, that's why.
Like, so. Please, Walt, you don't have to read everything that everyone else is reading. That's what's so great about the book.
Yes. World. And just because somebody, like, you see a lot of hype and shit on TikTok, like, do your own fucking research. Like, mm-hmm. I was really curious to read Sarah J. Maas. I have nothing against this woman. I do not know her. I wish her nothing but the best. But I did some research into her books, and there was some stuff in the books that I was like, I don't think that's for me. And I'm just going to give the whole A Kotar thing a miss, because there's stuff in there that I don't like. And so why should I subject myself to that? And I'm not helping her by forcing myself to become a reader of something I don't enjoy.
Especially when she has like an entire army of yes. fans anyway.
Who will probably come and gut me because I said I don't want to read it.
Quite all right. The point is, at least dear readers, at least from where I'm standing, embrace DNF. It's
yes. thing.
Let yes. go of the FOMO, y'all.
And life is too fucking short to read shite writing.